This morning, our scripture reading is taken from Philippians chapter 1. I begin with verse 3 through 7, and then chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 15. Paul is talking about encouragement here for the Christian life, for Christian living. And Paul went about starting a lot of churches in his days of ministry, and one of his favorite churches, I think, was Philippi, because when you look in the book of Philippi and what he has to say as it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, Paul, started a lot of churches. He went on 135 different missions in his lifetime, and he went by foot or ship. And just think about the impact that his ministry, once he was touched by the Lord. The impact that he had, as we read and as God has touched our lives, not also individually and as a church, the impact that we can make in our own community. There's thousands and thousands of people in the world, if not millions, that don't know the Lord. And Paul made it his goal, as many people as he had the ability and the support of the churches, to win as many people to the Lord as he could. And we know that Paul spent much of his time in prison, but he still ministered to the churches in every way possible. He had kind of we would think it was a handicap for him, but God told him, when he had, and he prayed for that thorn in the flesh to be removed, and God said, I'm going to leave it there because you're more useful with that than if I remove it, because you're depending upon me rather than yourself. And if we realize that our dependence is with the Lord, then we can be more effective in our ministry and in our life as well. So follow along with me, Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. And Paul says, I thank my God in all of my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in every prayer for all of you, in the view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. And in verse 6 he says, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it, or the word perfect means complete. Complete it or perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you, because I have you in my heart, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of the grace with me. Now, chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. And in verse 15, you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. So you see, that's why I think that Paul considered the church at Philippi one of his favorite churches, because they did support him. They prayed for Paul. And it's an encouragement to us as well as we pray and as we send people out or as we have sent missionaries out over the years. And when we think of doing ministry, every one of us are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this morning I want to share with you, there are at least some people in every church like the Philippian Christians, and many here in Versailles Baptist Church. And they are a crown to their pastor. They make his life worthwhile. You make my life worthwhile as we work together, as we serve together, as we do missions together, as we do evangelism, or whatever ministry that God leads us to do, we share it together. And it causes our hearts to be joyful. As Paul said, you know, the work that God is doing through you, you're allowing God to work through you, brings joy to me. That's what Paul was saying. It brings joy to the pastor. It brings joy to all of us to see how when we allow God to use us, and we make ourselves available to him. So, the church could not get along without certain people in the church who make themselves available. And who are these people? Well, first of all, let's look at the church needs faithful people. The church needs faithful people. The Bible nowhere commends anyone for greatness or brilliance, but rather of faithfulness. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, it says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And that verse goes on to say, "And I'll give you much more responsibility. If you take on a little responsibility, I'll give you more." And that's why the Lord himself says, as a parable, as a demonstration to those who are willing to follow the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, "Well done." Wouldn't you like to hear Jesus say, "Well done," to you personally? Walk up to you when you stand at the gates of heaven, and he looks at you, "Well done. I'm proud of you." It's just like when Jesus came out of the River Jordan after his baptism, and he was going to be commissioned for 3.5 years to go about doing ministry and preparing to go to the cross. And when he came out of the waters, he says, "This is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased." When you do something for someone, or if you do something not expecting anything in return or reward, and someone says, "Well done, good job," makes you feel good, doesn't it? It makes you feel good. It makes you realize that you are doing good, or what you're doing is impacting the lives of others. Just recently, I was talking to someone, and in reference of a person that's not in church, and the reason they're not in church is because they don't feel like they're being reached or are sought after. And of course, we think as Christians at a church, here we are, right? Here we are. Come. You're welcome. But if you go out and if you make people feel welcome, or if you even go out and talk, or even knock on their door, or make a phone call, or make a personal contact, see, it makes a difference. That's what Paul is talking about here to the Philippians. See, they went out of their way to make ministry happen, and God used them in a mighty way. And Paul says, "That reason I rejoice." Most of you know this famous athlete that I'm going to mention, and his name is Lou Gehrig of the New York Yankees. In 1927, He was named Outstanding Baseball Player of the Year. During his lifetime, he played in more consecutive games than any other man in the history of baseball. You know why? He never missed a game. He never missed a game. They called him the Iron Man of baseball. And you might say that he was a team player. How many games do you and I miss? Knowing that he was faithful in what he believed in. Say, what made Lou Gehrig so great? I think it was because of his faithfulness. A better record than Carl Ripken Jr. Every day he was out there on first base doing his best. Now that's baseball. But what about us? What about Christians? Are we on first base doing the best we can here in the church? Out in the life of ministry? Can we all say that we've never missed a game or never missed a service? We've never missed an opportunity to make it count for Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if Christ picked out the most outstanding member of our church, who would it be? Kind of look around and say, who would it be? Who is the most outstanding church member here at Versailles Baptist Church? Who would it be? It would surely be the one who was most faithful. And you probably can think back over all the years of the people that have come in the doors here at Versailles Baptist Church who were faithful. I can look back at over the years as growing up in the church at Gath Baptist Church, Northside Baptist Church, and the churches I've been in. And every Sunday, I would see certain people right there in the pew, or on Wednesdays or Sunday nights, always there doing what God had led them to do because they wanted to be faithful, and they were faithful. In Revelations chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." In Revelations 13, 14, it says that, you know, there will be a crown of glory for those. And those that go pass on, the Bible also says that, you know, your works are complete, but the works follow you also. So what is it about what Paul is saying here? I think if we would pray, God, keep sending us faithful Christians, what a difference we would see in the life of Versailles Baptist Church. And then next, the church needs willing people. See, we have willing people, all right. Some willing to work and others willing to let them. Right? Right. Willing to work and some willing to let them. In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, it says, "I searched for a man among them who could build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, so I would not destroy it, but I found none." Like Ezekiel, in his time, people were doing other things. And a lot of churches have members who are willing to do the work of the world, but not the work of the Lord. You know, job calls them, and they go. The clubs call them, the lodge calls them, the outside organization calls them, and they are willing and ready to go. The Lord calls them and the church calls them and they're too busy. Too often we see that in our churches today. When I'm thinking about what Paul is saying to the Philippian church and all the other churches probably that he worked in and served in, Paul is saying, we Christians need to make some adjustments in our lives. The Lord and the church ought to have the top priority in our lives. And I say that with all the passion within my heart. Not because I'm a pastor, because the love of the Lord should motivate us to want to do more. The Lord and the church ought to have the top priority in our lives. The other things will die with the setting sun. The things of the Christ will last forever. And that's why Jesus wants to encourage us when he says, I will be with you always, even to the ends of the world. And see, this world is not always going to be our home. We're only here temporarily. And we're here in order to make an impact for the eternal, for the things that are going to last forever. And whatever we do here on earth for the Lord is going to last forever. Amen? But what we do for ourselves or the things of the world is not going to last. And it's hard for us to comprehend that. Even as a pastor, it's hard for me to comprehend always the temporary things, but the eternal things that we don't see, and that's why faith is a substance of things hoped for and evidence of those things not seen, Hebrews chapter 11, 1. So it's easy for us to focus on the things that we can see and touch and feel, but the things that we can't, the rewards and the benefits of heaven, who awaits those who love the Lord, those are the things that we should be really focusing on, but that's not how we work sometimes. That's not the big interest in our hearts and our minds sometimes, because we don't keep a fresh encounter with the Lord. We don't keep our spiritual walk with Him fresh and exciting. And if we would do that, then all of the other things around us would just kind of fade off in the background. Things that we do here on this earth are important. They're part of our life. God made it a part of our life. But He needs to be the number one priority. And that's why we have so much difficult in our lives, because God is not number one. We don't focus on Him as much as we do other things, material things, and the things that seems to occupy our time more than our focus upon the Lord. So we need willing and faithful people. The church needs people of vision. We need vision. First, a vision of needs about us. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law or keeps God's precepts. So, if we don't have a vision, it's like shooting at a target. If you don't have a target to shoot at, you'll hit nothing, right? But if you aim, if you have a vision, and you focus on the things that God has placed in our hearts and minds to accomplish for His kingdom, and see, if we aim at that, if we see the things out in our community as important as they are for us inside here, as what we do when we look on the outside and see the people who are hurting, the people who are lost. How often on a daily basis do we think about someone that is lost, someone that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? And it could be a family member. It could be someone that you work with. It is very difficult to try to talk religions and so forth in schools or on your jobs and things like that. But there are those special times if you pray, Lord, help me in this situation to be able to share with this person I know that needs to know you. And he will do it. He will work it out every time. There's been times in my life where I was at work, when I worked at the Space Center, wherever I worked, and God laid someone on my heart that I knew that was lost. And reason I thought they was lost, or they weren't churched or something, by their demeanor, the way they talked, their behavior, their actions and everything. I said, Lord, work it out so I can get to know this person better. Whether I can find out what makes them tick. What makes them work? What they're thinking about? What is important to them? And within 5 minutes, you can find out. I've made it a point in my life to be able to, when I talk to a person, know everything about what I need to know in their life, whether they know Jesus Christ or not. And when you focus on what makes them tick, what motivates them, what their interests are, see, you can impact their lives by showing interest in what they do. Well, the church needs optimistic people. In Philippians chapter 4:13, can we quote that? Can we quote that verse? There it is. I can do all things through Christ who does what? Strengthens me. How many of us believe that? I can do all things. Not, it didn't say some things. Paul didn't say some things or maybe. He says all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we all need that strength, don't we? We all need that encouragement. We all need encouragement from one another to live the Christian life, to be able to live the Christian life, because we can't do it ourselves. And that's why in John chapter 15, when Jesus saw his disciples struggling in life, and see, Jesus was with his disciples, I'd say, on a daily basis. He was with them when they ate, when they slept, when they went about doing ministry, when Jesus was healing. And Jesus said, you know, men, my disciples, you cannot do anything unless you abide in me, unless you stay close to me. You got to stay attached to the branch. And when you do that, you're going to bear fruit. And then when you bear fruit, and the more you walk with me, and the more that you allow me to direct your paths, then you're going to bear more fruit. And the more you listen to me, and you pray, and you seek my will and my guidance in your life, then you're going to bear much fruit. If we would read that chapter at least once a week, we'd have a better understanding of what it means stay attached to the vine. That's Jesus Christ. And then when it comes to the point in our life that we're not bearing fruit, we might ask Jesus, what part of my life needs to be pruned or cut back or removed? Any hindrances, anything that keeps me from doing what you want me to do in life. Because Jesus says it's impossible for you to do anything unless you attach or you abide in me. By God's help, we can do that. You remember Moses, he sent 12 spies into Canaan, and all they saw, it was good. But 10 of them looked for obstacles. The other two, Caleb and Joshua, looked at the opportunities and said, "This is true, but God is on our side, and with His help, we can take the land." But guess what? The pessimists, the 10, they won over, didn't they? There was only two that thought positive. Yes, it all looks good, and we can take this. Why did they say that? Why did they think that? Because the 10 wasn't thinking about God going before them. Jacob and Joshua were saying, "We know we can take it because God's already there. He's there in front of us. He's already prepared the way." The other 10 had no concept of the power of God in their lives at that time because they was looking at the obstacles and not the power of God. And as a result, Israel had to wander in the wilderness for how many years? 40 years. How many days' journey was that for them if they would have stayed on course and did what God had called them to do? It was an 11-day journey for them, right into Canaan, land of milk and honey. And see, God is preparing a way for all of us today. See, I want to be an optimistic, not a pessimist. I want to say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Then the church needs promoters. We need boosters. We need people who are out every day in every walk of life, telling others of the good news, good times to be had in the church. And I like the slogan seen on a door: "Come in without knocking, go out the same way." Pretty good, huh? Come in without knocking, go out the same way. So if you want our church and every church to grow, prosper, promote it, then we need to follow what God's plan is for each one of us. And then last, the church cannot do without God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God is our Father. Christ our Founder, our foundation, our cornerstone, our friend. The Holy Spirit is our filling. And then, these are some of our church cannot do without. Might ask yourself, how faithful am I? How more faithful can I be? Am I willing? Do I have a vision for my church? If you are all of these, the church cannot do without you. All of these things that we shared this morning. See, our God, our Father, Christ is our foundation, our cornerstone, our friend, the Holy Spirit is our filling. We can't do without our Father, the Heavenly Father, the Son, and the filling of the Holy Spirit. See, I put those there to life because those are the ones that we really have to rely upon. Those are ones, those three, the Trinity, the Triune, the ones that we really need to concentrate upon, being where they want us to be, individually and as a church, in order for us to accomplish what Paul is saying here to the Philippians, that our joy might be complete in the Lord. When we do that, we'll see the blessings overflow in our community, in our nation. And we need to be praying for that. We really do. Our Father God, we thank you this morning for the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the goodness and the mercy that you show us each day. We thank you, Lord, that when each one of us experienced salvation how exciting, how thrilling, how peaceful, how encouraging that was in our life. But life has a way to distract us and take our minds off of the main purpose and your vision, your goal for each one of our lives. And I pray this morning for the refilling of your Holy Spirit in each one of our lives here this morning. That we will experience your power more than we've ever experienced it before. And we do that by surrendering, by yielding to your Spirit. Refresh, renew each one of us here this morning. May we each and every one of us have a willing spirit, a vessel that you can use and will use because we make ourselves available. People need Jesus. Lord, we need to live out what you began in our life years ago. As we took that first step, may that step be fresher and newer in our life because of your power, demonstrated through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to keep our eyes on you and focus on our calling as a church and as a child of God, that we will make a difference when we step out this door today. That people will look at us and say, they have been with Jesus. They've experienced his power. I want some of that. Lord, help us to be your witnesses, no matter where we go, that we might win others for your kingdom. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is hymn number 29. Glorify thy name. Let us stand as we sing.